This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
Playoffs? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win another game. Another game. I got to get back on this with the Nets. You have got to be kidding me. See, Nets fans were talking about playoffs. After we won some games, you know? Won some games, won a few series. And we start talking about playoffs. After we won two of three against the Marlins. And then, of course, we go to Toronto, lose two out of three. After Toronto, right? Boom. Six straight losses.
Game over.
They almost got me. They almost got me when the Nats beat the Marlins about a week ago in Miami. I, too, was looking at the standings and seeing how far back we were from the playoffs. And we were still six games back of the third wild card spot. Yeah, chances were slim, but it looked like we had a chance. But I was like, it's still too early to be talking about playoffs. This is not a playoff team. This is still a team that's kind of rebuilding. And sure enough, start losing. For real, before we beat the Mets last night, and thank God we beat the Mets last night, because, man, if we had got swept by the Mets and our losing streak would have climbed to like 9 or 10, I would have been sick. Thank God they ended the losing streak by beating the Mets. Because this was getting ridiculous. And on, what was it, Tuesday? They played the Mets, a game I really wanted to go to. Thank God I didn't. Because they got smoked. Gave up a bunch of home runs and 11 runs overall. You have got to be kidding. Playoffs? Kiss it goodbye. Like, seriously, I said last show, if they're serious about playoffs, they would beat the Marlins. They would not only beat the Marlins, but at least win three out of four. But realistically, they were going to have to sweep them if they really wanted to make a push towards the playoffs. I mean, the 2019 team was doing stuff like that. And the exact opposite happened.
Come on, man.
I'm sick. Man, but then again, you know what? I'm coming to peace with it. But playoffs? Are you kidding me? You ain't going to no playoffs. Not even close. It's a wrap. It's over. But maybe we still got the momentum for next year that I've been longing for. The development of CJ Abrams has been unreal. Like, I love the development of Lane Thomas and CJ Abrams. They're going to be good players in this league for a while. Love the development of Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore. Caber Ruiz, I mean, we just gave him a contract. He's not bad. Now we see the players that we can build around. I mean, listen, Luis Garcia got sent to the minors. Who else? I mean, I don't really trust anyone on our staff. I mean, Patrick Corbin, listen, the Patrick Corbin being our ace experiment is almost over. It's got to be. Because this is unacceptable. He is not an ace. But right now, he's still our ace. I don't know how long we're going to keep Trevor Williams. Yona Doan is not bad. But ultimately, I don't know if he's going to be a part of the rotation moving forward. But for now, he will do. Hey, next year, we got something. This year, it's a wrap. I'm just glad they didn't get swept by the Mets. We got two series against the Braves. Don't get wiped out by them, even though they're arguably the best team. still fight. Matter of fact, take both series in DC and in Atlanta. Would love it. That's the least you can do. The White Sox series, I don't care. I'm just glad that they have two games I could possibly go to. I'm probably going to go to the 105 game on, I think it's next Wednesday. It's soon. It's either next Wednesday or the Wednesday after. It's very soon, and I plan to go. That's probably the last Nationals game I go to, except maybe the Nats and the Orioles on September 26th. I might go to that one. Other than that, yeah, I'm about done. But hey, I still had fun this year. There were still some great memories. But it's a wrap, dog. If this team was serious, they would have took care of business in Toronto and here in D.C. But they didn't. They got cooked. So now we can bury all this playoff talk. Man, next topic, man. These guys blowing me. You got to be kidding me. Now, let's get to all this college football that just happened. Oklahoma Sooners took care of business. They did not play with their food. Coach Lebby, Jeff Lebby was on one, our offensive coordinator, and the offense was just running how it's supposed to run. I'm just worried because this is the trap I fell into last year. Beginning of the season, offense was running up and down the field and just at the speed of light, just scoring at will in, I don't know, a minute, minute and a half. Even in the first possession, when we got to third down, I was like, oh, here we go. It hasn't even been 30 seconds and we're going to go three and out. This is the problem we had last year. But then they get a chunk play, then they get another chunk play. In an end zone, just like that. Gavin Freeman, forgot about him. He cooked. He scored twice. He scored in a punt return. He scored as a receiver. Kid's nice. And he's from Oklahoma City. I love it. Hopefully he continues to play a role in this offense because he's another one of those slot receiver, punt returner types. You know, think of a Wes Welker. I hate to use that example, but I just got to. Or maybe I was going to say Jakeem Grant or even Tyler Lockett. But Tyler Lockett has been playing on the outside more. He's kind of like that. And Drake Stoops, I can't believe he's still on the team. I remember in college, I went to go watch him play at Norman North when he was a sophomore. That was a long time ago. It seemed like a long time ago, but it really wasn't. I mean, what was that, 8 years ago? And this guy is a senior now? That's crazy, man. He one of the old guys on the team. He one of the old men on the team. That's crazy. But he scored a touchdown. I mean, Dylan Gabriel... just great. He did great. But it's week one. It was against an opponent that I thought was better than what they showed. They just had no answers for our offense. We did whatever we wanted. I mean, come on. You know, offense having a good day, second and one. We could have easily ran that for 5 yards and kept the chains moving. They go play action, throw a jump ball to number one, Wilson. He's pretty good too. And he comes down with it at the 1 yard line. I'm like, good Lord. Like, we just doing whatever we want. This is too easy. I stopped watching at halftime. Bro, are you kidding me? It was 45-0 at halftime. It was, 30-0 at the first quarter? It was a wrap. See, that is the good thing about Jeff Levy's offense. They don't waste time. Like, it doesn't waste time. It can put up points in bunches. But when it gets stopped and we got to keep that defense on the field, I mean, it's just, that's when it becomes a problem. And that's almost how Oklahoma State came back. But hey, for right now, so far so good. I have no foul on SMU. I know nothing about them other than, well, they're in Dallas. Other than that, I don't know anything else about them. I don't know what their main players are. See, obviously, my preparation for the show has to improve. But seriously, I do not know much about them. Should beat them. Oh, and I do know that they moved to the ACC. But, you know, I'm not going to go too far into conference realignment because it's just making my head spin and it's a joke. And the Pac-12 is the Pac-2. I don't got any Pac-2 jokes like Jim Rome. But it is crazy, though. You got all these schools from the West joining East Coast conferences. That's crazy. I'm dying. But SMU, I don't know the spread. We're favored. I don't think they've shown anything to be a favor or even a close, like, underdog at Gaylord Family Memorial Stadium on the road at OU. Like, come on. Matter of fact, I'm about to look at, let's look at the line. I'm about to look at the line right now because I need to see what we're working with. So OU is a 15.5 point favorite. Okay. Sounds good. Should be another, you know, piece of cake. Should kill them. Let's see what answers SMU has for this offense. I hope they have some, because if not, it's going to be another long night for our opponent. They're going to die. I'm going to miss probably the first half of this game because I'm going to be out watching my little cousin play football. So I won't be able to watch the first half. Hopefully I'm not disappointed or unpleasantly surprised. We'll see. But so far, so good with the Sooners. But I'm very careful getting too hyped because I know what happened last year. Colorado, they lived up to the hype at least for 1 week. I can't believe what I saw. I knew the 20.5 point line was a joke. I was like, TCU lost how many players? Like, they lost pretty much all of the main players they had in that championship run. And even in that championship run, I could point to at least 3 games they could have lost. Well, 2 for sure, like the Oklahoma State game and the Baylor game. They could have easily lost those. And they lost to Kansas State the second time. Even with all those players, they weren't that great. And then they come back this year with Chandler Morris and a bunch of new starters and transfers. I'm like, they're ranked 17. I don't see the hype. They don't have to show me that they this much better than Colorado. The only thing is, I still was picking TCU to win because there was a lot of unknown with Colorado. I wasn't sure who was on their team. I wasn't sure how they were going to do. You knew Shador was going to show up. You knew Travis Hunter was going to show up. Dylan Edwards, that's his name, right? You knew those guys were for real. I just wasn't sure the rest of their lineup in the trenches, the linebackers. I just wasn't sure what they was going to do, but they showed up. They killed it. On the road. And I watched this game for 5 minutes because I came home and watched it after the OU game. Well, halftime of the OU game, I went home and watched Colorado TCU. And 5 minutes of watching this game, I was like, this is a toss-up. This could go either way. It's just going to be who has the ball last or who makes the least mistakes. Or just who makes more plays. And TCU, no, Colorado made more plays. Fourth and two, pass it to Dylan Edwards and he goes all the way for a touchdown? Ballsy. Gutsy. And it was a great play call. Man to man. You know, clear out the left side of the field, isolate the linebacker on the running back. Oh, it's genius. And then they made stops at the end of the game to seal it. Like, it was beautiful. Now I want to see what they do. Oh, and Travis Hunter is him. I was like everybody else. I wasn't sure what he was going to do on the, I can't say next level, but on the FBS stage, I wasn't sure he was going to be able to play both ways. I didn't think he was still playing both ways, but he was, and he killed it. 110 plays. That's, man, if I had his conditioning, just imagine what I could do with his conditioning. You wouldn't even want to know. I would be cooking. But I don't have his conditioning or his diet, so I'm just sitting up here hoping and dreaming like the rest of y'all.
Facts.
I mean, this guy is something special. He might be the next Deion Sanders. He's just a little bit shorter and, you know, smaller, but it's okay. He can play. If he keeps this up, he'll be in the Heisman conversation. But we got to see. It's a long season, and they got a bunch of quality opponents. Even Nebraska, like, they didn't look good against Minnesota. Like, every other time they got in the red zone, they turned it over. They could have definitely blew Minnesota out. They didn't. They let them hang around, and then Minnesota stole the game. And now you got to go back on the road against Colorado. Oh, boy. But however, Colorado was counted out, doubted. 20.5-point underdog. Now everything's flipped. They're back at home. They're 3-point favorite. They're top 25. They're getting all the national attention, all the love. How are they going to respond in a complete opposite situation as last week? If they respond well, cool. We got ourselves a legit Pac-12 contender. Probably the last of the Pac-12 for a while. And it's what could be the Pac-12's last season as a conference. I don't think we've seen the last of them. They're gonna piece it together. Eventually, they're going to piece it back together eventually. But from what I'm seeing, it's going to be the last of them for a while. But anyway, Colorado might be a contender to win the last Pac-12 title. If they can win games like this, where they're going to be favored, where they're going to be hyped, where they're going to have all this love. Can they focus? Can they have the attention to detail? Because Nebraska isn't going to be a pushover. They got a good coach. They play solid defense. From the looks of it, they play better defense than TCU. I mean, I don't think Nebraska is going to give up 100 yards to four receivers. It's a shame. But it's going to be tougher. How are they going to respond? I want to see that more than anything. I'm rooting for them just like everybody else, but I'm going to be disappointed if they don't rise to the occasion in the exact opposite situation as last week. But Deion's a man. He knows how to promote his brand. He knows how to sell a product. He just does it so easily. Okay, what else with college football? Okay, Florida State, I see what the hype is about. Jordan Travis, okay, he was shaky for like the first 2.5 quarters, and then they just took off. Like Florida State, Jordan Travis and Florida State, they just ran away with it. They was just too much. Their defense, yeah, it was a lot of bend but don't break. They had a lot of good fourth down stops, especially in the first half. And then they just shut the door. They started forcing turnovers, and they just ran over LSU. They just physically dominated them in the second half, and it wasn't even watchable. That's how you make a statement. And, you know, Florida State, LSU, I mean, neither of these games the last 2 years were on campus. They were at neutral site fields. I guess because both brands are so large, both fan bases are so large, I mean, you got to have it in a neutral site. But Florida State won again. I thought LSU was going to get their revenge. They didn't. They pretty much got the same team as last year. But yet, they did worse against Florida State this year. But, you know, to be fair, Florida State got the exact same team too. They punished them. Florida State going to be a problem. And this is an easy transition to Clemson. If they don't figure out their offense, Florida State is going to be so far gone that you ain't going to catch them. They're going to be so much better than Clemson if Clemson doesn't improve their offense. They got Lincoln Riley's brother. Like, this shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't be scoring 7 points against Duke. I know Duke was better than I thought, both last year and this year. When I saw this game on the schedule, I rolled my eyes. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Clemson and Duke? I don't care if the game is at Duke. Monday Night Football, college, and you put Clemson and Duke?
What?
Just wasn't a good idea, but thank God the game wasn't bad and ended up being better than I thought. Well, okay, it was 7-6 at halftime, but the way Duke took control of that game, I think honestly where the game was lost for Clemson when they was at the goal line and they fumbled and Duke almost returned it all the way back for a touchdown. Duke never looked back after that. And then it was just, they kept forcing turnovers and making stops. And then they was just, they made Clemson quit. Like, I never thought a Duke team could do that. In football, of all things. This ain't even basketball. This is football. And this is Duke. Wow. What a statement they made. They're in the top 25 as well. Clemson's still in the top 25, but somehow, some way. But Duke is right there as well. 28-7. Fans storm the field. Wow. Can they keep this up? Can they beat North Carolina? North Carolina beat South Carolina, which I didn't think it would happen. I guess because I still, you know, still really believe in Spencer Rattler and Shane Beamer. I believe in these guys, but North Carolina, I forgot they had Drake May, who could be the number one pick or the number two pick. And their defense is a lot better than I thought. Like, from what I saw of the game, they made Spencer Rattler just run around the entire game. Like, I was very impressed by that. So, Duke versus Carolina is going to be a good one. I can't wait till that happens. Both football teams are actually legit. When does it happen? You know what? I got to do a live lookup. Because this is North Carolina versus Duke, November 11th. It says 1 p.m. Eastern, but, you know, TV contracts make these times. the television companies tell you what time they want you to play. So we don't know when that game is going to be, but it's on November 11th. I can't wait. That's going to be a good one. But yeah, you know, both of those guys made statements. Oh, yeah. College game day was in Charlotte for Carolina, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And the signs were unreal. I can't really say them on here, but the signs were hilarious. Like, college football is back. And for whatever reason, I was more excited about that than the NFL. Okay, maybe not. I'm more excited about college football coming back than this Thursday game. This Thursday game is a joke. I'll talk about it later. But glad college football is back and it's off to a great start. I still wish they would have put some other game other than Clemson-Duke. They could have did UTSA-Houston. They could have did TCU-Colorado. But it looks like Colorado is going to be the big noon on Fox Star. I get it. Why not? It's great for Fox that Colorado is an instantly relevant brand because of Prime. Great for them. Texas versus Alabama next week, or no, this Saturday. Go Alabama. I know the Sooner fan base don't like either team. I like Alabama way more than Texas. I wish I was at this game. I've been saying I want to go back to Alabama. Like, that would have been a great time to go back to Alabama. But those guys are in the SEC. So I'll probably see this matchup again very soon, within the next 3 to 5 years. And I can't wait. It's going to be a good one. Go Alabama. Even with their relative inexperience at quarterback. Hopefully, it's a total team effort, and the coaching and the defense carries them through, and we sit down Texas and put them at 1-1, you know? Because if Texas wins, they're automatically going to be in the top five, and we know they're overrated. They're consistently overrated. So there's no way this is a top five team. So hopefully Alabama takes care of business, and I don't have to hear anything about Texas being top five. So the Washington Mystics made the playoffs. But for whatever reason, I can't really celebrate that hard. Like, I'm kind of relieved, because I know they're limping into the playoffs. Because these guys are 18 and 20. Mid. Remember when I said after they lost to Connecticut twice earlier in the season, I was like, this team looking kind of mid. And then they end up being mid. I think half of the reason was the injuries. But overall, you know, it's a veteran roster, and I kind of overestimated their abilities. But there is a slim chance, just because they're a veteran group, that they can make a run here. Because they have the talent to do it. It's just, can they put it together and make this run? It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because I'm going to keep it real with you. If the standings stay the way they are, they're going to have to play New York in the first round. Now, they do match up with New York well. The problem is New York is rolling right now. Like, they're going up. Like, they're ascending, and the Mystics are descending. Or they're kind of stagnant. They did beat Las Vegas at home. Then they lost to them at Las Vegas. But the Mystics, I don't think they're going to the playoffs with the best foot forward. They kind of scared us by losing to the Sparks on the road. The Sparks are the definition of mid. Like, they are the most mid team you can get. The only thing not mid about them is Neka Ogumake. Other than that, mid. Oh, and they got a really good coach. But other than that, mid. no reason we should have lost to them late in the season like this with the playoffs on the line. But the Sparks themselves are in a playoff battle with Chicago for that last spot. Now, most likely, the Aces are going to get the number one seed. So that means they're going to play either the Sparks or the Sky. Oh, the Mystics. Didn't the Mystics beat the Sky? They beat them too, obviously. But the Sky, they got destroyed by, I think it was the Liberty. They got destroyed by somebody recently. Like, they're mid. They're going to get picked off by the Liberty or the Aces. But listen, when it comes to the Mystics, like, how many games we got left here? So, today is the 7th. They play Atlanta tomorrow, last home game, which is somewhat important now. Or is it? Or is it? Let's see what they do here. So, we clinch playoffs. We could rest our veterans because we've been dealing with injuries all season. Could rest our veterans, or we could try to move up in playoff position and play everybody. I think the only one that's for sure out is Christy Tolliver, which is unfortunate. She tore ACL. I'm sick. Did that happen? She had just came back from a different injury, and then that happens. Hope that's not the end of her career, but that's a tough break. Wishing her the best in my prayers for sure, but man, that's just a tough break. But yeah, we should have pretty much everyone else. We should be ready for the playoffs for everybody else. Yeah, the season ends on Sunday against the Liberty, which could be our first round opponent. So, okay, we beat Phoenix, punished Phoenix to clinch the playoff berth. Cool. Atlanta, we blew them out at home, but we lost the other two games in Atlanta. Okay. We're at home. Need to punish them somehow, some way. And we punished them at home without everybody, without Deladon, without Secure Austin. We blew them out. I think we have both of them tomorrow on Friday. And I think we're going to be fine. So, I think we're going to be fine. We'd love to have that game and move up in standings. Because, listen, I'd much rather play. Even though our record against them isn't great. Even though our record against them isn't great. I'd much rather play against Connecticut, Dallas, or Minnesota than the Liberty or the Aces, who it looks like they're on a freight train to the title, to the finals. Like, come on. It looks like they're on a moving freight train to the finals. I know we'd have to play them anyway, but like I said, I'd much rather play them in the semifinals where we're guaranteed at least a game in DC than to play them two games at their place and potentially get ran off the floor. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. It's good to get everybody back. Well, Ariel Atkins is out again, but I don't think it's anything that serious. Shakira is back. Deladon's back, even though she's kind of limited. I think, you know, once we get to the playoffs, I think Deladon's going to be full go, and she's still one of the best players in the league. So I shouldn't worry too much about her. I think they're going to be fine. It's just that I would love for them to move up in playoff position because it's still there. Two games left. I mean, two games left. We're tied with Atlanta, who's in six. We're a game behind Minnesota. I mean, that LA loss really hurt. Like, you just can't lose that game, period. I mean, it'd be a lot better to be 19-19 and one game from Dallas than to be 18-20 and possibly in seventh place because we're losing the tiebreaker to Atlanta because for whatever reason, we can't win a game in Atlanta. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't want to play either of those freaking freight trains. Even though we beat both of them, I still would rather not. Anyway, let's go Mystics, baby. Let's go Mystics. All right, who else? Okay, real quick, Washington Spirit. The Washington Spirit lost to Chicago.
What?
Game over.
Chicago is mid. I don't even know if they mid. They might be trash. Because they're second to last in the league. Like, they're tied with Houston for the second worst record. But to be honest, we tied with Houston twice. So maybe this is just a really competitive league and you have to bring it every week. But on paper, better than Chicago. Now, from what I learned on FIFA, Chicago has Team USA goalie. Naher, I think that's her name. I could have sworn that was her. But I think they have her. But we lost. Lost 2-0. I'm glad I didn't spend $85 to get in the Cabana Suites for that. Now, I'm sure I would have loved being in the Cabana Suites again. But I would have hated walking out of there knowing that they lost 2-0 with everyone in attendance. I mean, everyone on their team. Like, I don't know, Trinity and Ashley J-Lo and all our folks, you know, Kingsbury, all our stars were playing. We lost 2-0. What happened? What happened? I don't know. I don't even know how they playoffs work. But this team has dropped all the way to 6. But this is so competitive that they're only 4 points out of first. Remember San Diego? Remember San Diego had dropped to like 4th or 5th after we destroyed them here in DC? Now they're back in first. So obviously this is a competitive league and we're not out of it. We'll be fine. Oh, our goal differential is -1. Oh, man, that's funny. And Chicago's goal differential is -17, and we lost to them. Disappointed in my ladies. Got to get it together. But I think we'll be fine. Shoot. What's up with them playoffs, though? Like, I know we didn't make the Challenge Cup playoffs. I mean, shout out to Louisville and North Carolina. North Carolina's probably going to win. I mean, the championship's at their place. But yeah, we didn't make that. So maybe we'll be fine in the playoffs. I'm talking about playoffs. And I'm not kidding you. Unlike with the Nationals. I'm interested to see what happens. Now, let me make some NFL picks. Let's start with the Chiefs and the Lions. Like, come on, I got the Chiefs. It's not going to be close. Sure, the Chiefs defense is shaky. And the Lions got a decent passing game with Jared Goff. But at the end of the day, the coaching mismatch, the high power offense of the Chiefs, even without Travis Kelce. Oh, that's huge. That's huge. I just think it's just too much. You know, too much experience, too much Patrick Mahomes. I don't know why y'all hyped this game, bro. I don't even know why this is a Thursday night opening season game. What a joke. Maybe I'm wrong. Everyone else think this is a close game and the Chiefs might lose, but no, the Chiefs are going to win. They're going to win by 2 touchdowns. What are we doing? Come on. The Bird and the Patriots. You going to respect the Bird. And that is the word. They're playing the Patriots. They're 4-point favorites. And you know what? I'm just going to stick with that. They're going to win by 4 in New England. tough defense, Bill Belichick. Yeah, yeah, I know. They're going to have to fight for this one, but I think the bird is going to take it. I'm telling you. Oh, no. Thunderstorm warning. Last thing I need. I was trying to do playoffs, man. Kickball playoffs. But, you know, if we get rained out, we get rained out. It is what it is. Anyway, back to the grind. I'm just thinking of matchups off the top of my head. Bucks and Vikings. Bake is my guy, but I can't see them beating the Vikings. I don't know how much the Vikings defense improved. I just don't. But their offense is a juggernaut. It'll be too much for the Bucks, who have to travel to Minnesota. Like, it's just going to be too much. I got Minnesota. Commanders and Chiefs. No, Commanders and Commander and Chiefs. President. Anyway, Commanders and Cardinals. It's tough for me to pick against the Commanders. First game. Daniel Snyder's not there. It's going to be a lot of energy there. And Terry McLaurin's playing. Trace Young is playing. It's tough for me to pick against them, especially against a shaky opponent in the Cardinals that don't have Kyler Murray. If they had Kyler Murray, I would have 100% picked the Cardinals. But no Kyler Murray, it is going to be tough to score on that defense without Kyler Murray. They got the Commanders. Got the Commanders probably by three. They're not going to blow them out. Whoever says they're going to blow them out, I mean, you haven't been watching this sitcom the last 20 or so years. Panthers, Falcons, to me is a toss-up, but I think the Falcons are a little bit better, so I'm going with them. Ravens, Texans, I got the Ravens by at least 10. Might be Lamar Jackson's reintroduction party. Just in case you forgot about him, he's going to show you why he's real. Hopefully Odell Beckham does his thing too. I miss watching him play, and now he's back. Zay Flowers, I want to see if the hype is real with him too. And Damian Pierce is on my fantasy team. He might be on two of my fantasy teams, so I definitely want to see if he can match what he did last year. At least match what he did last year. Bengals and Browns. I have... I'm going to edge the Bengals, even though the Browns have pretty much owned the Bengals the last few years. Basically, since Baker Mayfield has been drafted, the Browns have only lost to the Bengals maybe one time. So, and Baker Mayfield isn't there anymore, but they still beat up on the Bengals. Even though they're in Cleveland, I got the Bengals. They're just the slightly better team. Well, not slightly, but they're the better team. They're the better team, and I got them winning by maybe a touchdown. It's going to be a good one, though. Second highest over-under. I wonder how they do that with both defenses being pretty. To be fair, the offenses are legit, too. I mean, Cleveland got arguably the best running back in the league, and Nick Chubb and Amari Cooper, Peoples Jones, Deshaun Watson in his second year. Let's say he's back to what he was before what happened with the Texans. Then, yeah, it could be a shootout. And Joe Burrow is coming off an injury, but he's the man. And he got all type of weapons with Higgins, Chase, Boyd, Hurst. Oh, man. Joe Mixon. Oh, man. He got a lot of firepower. So, but these defenses, I think these defenses are going to keep both of these guys honest. I don't know how it's, I still don't know how it's second highest over under. I really don't. That's crazy to me, but whatever. These guys study more than I do. Jaguars, Colts, got the Jaguars by at least 10 points. You know, just the uncertainty of Anthony Richardson and the firepower of Jacksonville is just going to be too much. Buccaneers, I already did Bucks, Vikings, Titans, Saints. Got the Saints, they're just a better team. And they were number one against the run last year, and they're returning most of those starters. It's going to be tough sledding for the Titans. It's not a good matchup for them, at least on paper, but we'll see what happens. 49ers, Steelers. I had a chance to go to this game, but I'm a fade because I don't want to spend the money on gas in a hotel. So I'm just going to fade it, and I'm going to go with the 49ers once again by at least two touchdowns. No, because they're on the road. I say about 7 to 10 points. Brock Purdy's the starter now. I think he'll have a pretty decent game, but that defense is going to be locked down. I still think Pickens is going to get his, but everyone else, it's going to be tough sledding. I got the Niners even on the road. Already did Commanders, Cardinals, Packers, Bears. Now that should be the second highest over under. But, you know, that's just me. I know we're dealing with Jordan Love and Justin Fields, and the Bears offense wasn't that great last year. But two young quarterbacks, both got exciting young weapons. Well, except Aaron Jones. I don't see how this can't be a high-scoring game. But, you know, we'll see. I want to go with the Bears. The Justin Fields missed is almost enough to make me pick the Bears, but I'm going to go with the Packers. I think they're just slightly better, and they're going to cause a lot of problems for the Bears offense when it comes down to it. Raiders and Broncos, I got Broncos. I just think they're the more complete team, but, you know, we'll see. It's probably going to be a close one. Dolphins and Chargers might be the game of the week. You got two, I guess, either high second-tier quarterbacks or low first-tier quarterbacks, and Tua and Herbert. They're always going to be linked because they were picked right beside each other. But I got, oh, man, this is a tough one. It's in L.A. I'm going to edge the Chargers because I think the Chargers are less likely to make that mistake at the end of the game. I'm just saying. But I think the Chargers got the slightly better team, even though the Dolphins, their pass rush has improved and they got Jalen Ramsey. I'm just going to give the Chargers the home bump. Give me the Chargers by three. It's going to be tough, though. That could go either way. Okay, Rams, Seahawks. I got Seahawks. Easy money. The secondary is too tough on Seahawks side and too much firepower on offense for Seattle. Cowboys and Giants, I wish they'd both lose, but I'm going to go with, oh man, I'm just going to go with the Cowboys because they're the better team, but I want the Giants to win. Cowboys are a better team. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Bills and Jets. Only because they're at home and Aaron Rodgers is, you know, doing his debut on September 11th in New York. I'm just going to give it to the Jets, even though the Bills are better than me. I got the Jets winning. So there you go. Those are my NFL picks. I guess that's it for the show. Listen, the Chiefs and Lions, try to enjoy that, I guess. It's going to be a choke. Patrick Mahomes is going to cook, even without Travis Kelce. Hey, let's see what happens. I'm going to watch it, but I'm not too excited about it. So, it's Mr. Van Pugh. GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. You already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.